entertainment, sports, and radio's best guest list. Live from the Zone Radio Studios on Broadway on WZON Z62, WKIT HD3, and at downtownwithrichkimble.com. This is Downtown.
Hello there and a good Sunday morning. It's the best of Downtown. This 15th day of the month of April. Rich Kimble, Carrie Haskell here with you. Our weekly look back at some of our favorite recent conversations. Downtown and the best of Downtown are brought to you by Cross Insurance, where security meets strength. Guests of the program are heard on the G&M Family Market phone line. They're on the corner of Route 1A and Route 46 in Holden, open every day from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. On the program this week, we talk with our friend Charlotte Wilder of SB Nation about her foray into the world of WWE. Author Jason Pellegrini discusses his latest book, Booth. Radio legend Dr. Demento unveils a brand new music collection, Dr. Demento covered in punk. But we get things rolling this morning with our friend Patrick Ruby, who's written a terrific piece on The Athletic about the high cost of college athletic scholarships for families that go in pursuit of them. Here's Patrick Ruby on the Best of Downtown. So why are parents willing to not only spend an awful lot of money to try and get a scholarship for their kids, but also in many ways make that the driving force of their parental lives?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors. I mean, there's parental pride. There's the joy of watching your child do something they like and excel at it. There's a little bit of vanity. There's keeping up with the Joneses and other people. There's all the reasons people participate as families in youth sports in the first place. But there is now, especially because of the exploding cost of college tuition that we've seen, also a very bottom line motivation to all this. There's a feeling that if I can get my kid that holy grail, that full ride athletic scholarship, you know, they're going to be able to go to school and they're going to walk out of there without tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars in crippling student loan debt. Again, as we all know, college tuition has ballooned in the last two decades. I think the rate of increase is more than 50%. I'm not sure that any other sort of consumer good has inflated more over the same time period. So people are definitely feeling a financial crunch when it comes to funding their kids going to college. And this can look like a very attractive way of doing that.
Well, let's start with the odds against even getting a scholarship in the first place, and they're pretty remote. It's a long shot, and it depends, of course, on the sport you're in, but it's tough to project anybody at an early age is going to be a scholarship athlete.
Right. So this is the flip side of that equation, of that thinking, you know what, sports are going to pay for my kid going to college. Only about 2% of all high school athletes will ever play college sports. So right away, that is a pretty low amount. But it gets worse. The odds get worse because very few sports, and people don't realize this, but very few sports at the NCAA Division I college level where you're getting scholarships actually give full-ride scholarships. We're basically talking about men's and women's basketball, football, volleyball, and sometimes a handful of other women's sports. For the most part, most college sports and most college teams, they have many more roster spots than they have actual full scholarships to give. And so what they do is they end up giving little partial scholarships to all the different athletes on the team to the point, I'll give you an example, North Carolina State University, right? That's a big school. That's a major conference school. The athletic department brings in a lot of money. There's 558 athletes there in 2015. Only 27 who didn't play football, basketball, one of those handful of women's sports I just mentioned, received full rides. More than 200 of them had only 20% or less of their college costs covered by financial aid. So just right there, the numbers don't look good.
You looked at a couple of families in your piece in The Athletic, and it's hard to fathom the expenses that people go through here. And where do they begin? Where are the most costly activities that parents do in their pursuit of a scholarship?
Well, I think, you know, well, first of all, you're right. People can spend a lot of money. You know, I think people of Utah State have studied this, and the average family is spending over $2,000 a year on youth sports. Some families are spending up to 10% of their yearly income. Time Magazine looked at this. They found some people spending like $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year on this. I talked to a family where they literally took out a second mortgage on their house to pay for their daughter's softball career. And the big cost drivers from this are sort of, it's really the professionalization of youth sports. Mm. We're talking about travel teams. We're talking about private coaching. We're talking about equipment. That's always been a cost, but it's more costly now. We're talking about people not only getting private main coaching, but getting like agility coaches and strength coaches. And again, it really can add up very quickly. We didn't really have this in America 30, 40, 50 years ago, but we've really grown an enormous youth sports industry. It's actually worth more than $15 billion a year, which is bigger than the NFL. Again, I don't know if people realize that, but there's a lot of money to be made. And when you're talking about families, a lot of money to be spent on youth sports.
You include in your piece a calculator that families can do, but the reality is this, the math just doesn't add up. And even if you are able to get that scholarship, you might spend more getting it than it's actually worth.
Right. Now, this calculator is really important. We built a calculator. We had an economist who has looked at this question. Who, by the way, a guy named Rod Fort is at the University of Michigan, a really smart sports economist, also a youth sports dad and someone who had been like the commissioner of a youth baseball league. And that's when he started to notice, wow, these parents are spending a ton of money and they're convinced they're going to get scholarships and it's probably not going to go out for them. He actually sat down, built some formulas that we used in our calculator to help anyone could go online. It's just like a mortgage calculator. You can plug in how much you think the scholarship you're being offered is worth, what percentage you might get. You can plug in what you think the odds are of your kid actually getting an offer are, the number of years you have until your kid's going to be in college, and it will spit back to you, here's the amount you can basically spend per year and expect to at least break even in terms of getting that scholarship. And the thing is, if you play around with this, if you put in numbers, it goes down really, really fast. Like, if you have a full guaranteed shot, let's say that. Let's say you're thinking, I'm going to get a $25,000 a year scholarship. My kid is guaranteed. He is, you know, a future NBA player. He's guaranteed to get that full ride. You know, if you're looking at your kid's maybe 9, 10 years old, you could probably spend up to like $7,500 a year and it'd still be a break-even investment. So you can spend a lot, right? But if even if you just drop that odds of getting a scholarship to 1 in 4, so 25%, and as we know, that's way higher than the 2% that actually exists for most sports, you drop down from $7,600 a year to $244 a year that you should be spending before the chances are you're going to lose money on this. So it when you plug in these numbers, it's remarkable how much people are probably overspending if their goal financially is to fund their kids' college education. They'd be much better off just putting that money in a college savings account.
We're talking with Patrick Ruby here on Downtown, and you quote a couple of surveys in your piece that are just stunning to me. 1,000 parents conducted by a survey conducted by TD Ameritrade, 40% were at least pretty sure their child would receive an athletic scholarship, and 2/3 thought that the scholarship might cover more than half of their child's college costs.
Yeah, that's what I mean by like people are kind of delusional. And look, they're parents, right? It's understandable. Every parent loves their child. Every parent sort of thinks their child is going to do well. The child is a reflection of the parent in some ways. There's also parental vanity involved. It's all those kinds of things. It's not emotionally, it makes a lot of sense that people would feel that way. But when you look at the cold, hard numbers and you take out that parental emotion and that love and that vanity, what you're left with is, no, 40% of high school and youth athletes are never going to play college sports. You don't have that good of a chance. And even if you play, it's extremely unlikely you're going to get anything close to a full scholarship.
Well, the other thing I have to wonder about as a former high school coach and as a current teacher and as the dad of a 4-year-old who may have some interest in sports as he gets older, I worry about the pressure that this puts on the young athletes themselves if they're carrying that weight of the family's expectations along the way. That can't make it a very pleasurable experience.
I don't think so. In fact, that's the other part of this is, even if your kid is really talented and, you know, maybe does have what it takes to play college sports, you have to remember, we're talking about kids. Kids change their mind all the time as they grow. This year they might love baseball. 2 years from now they might love comic books, or they might love music, or they want to play the drums, even if they were like a major league talent level youth baseball player. You never really know. Kids also really get burned out on stuff fast, and especially now as youth sports have become more professionalized, more expensive, more consuming. You know, they've gone to the year-round model where you're always playing, you're always traveling, you're always working on your skills. Kids are getting more and more burnt out. Go figure. They're also getting more and more repetitive use injuries. So that's the other part of this too, is that if your kid is like, you're spending all this money and your family expectation is you're going to go to college, you're going to be a star, you're going to get a scholarship, you know, don't be surprised if your young pitcher blows out their elbow, or your young soccer player decides, you know what, like, my ankle is a shot. I want to pick up golf. I want to do that for fun. I'm tired of this. And they're only 15 years old. You talk to experts who study this, they're seeing more and more of all those things.
So, Patrick, what's the best advice for parents if they do harbor that dream? Obviously, a realistic view of their son or daughter's skills, but maybe just take a step back, and I've always said these sports, these pursuits should be about what the students want to do, not what the parents hope they'll do.
Yeah, I mean, I think the advice is sort of threefold. Like you said, first of all, just go look at the numbers and do some crunching. Play with our calculator and figure out sort of, it'll just give you an idea of how much you actually might be spending and what it might actually be worth just financially, right? That would be advice number one. Number two would definitely be understand why you're spending the money, what you're in it for. Look, there's a lot of wonderful non-financial benefits to youth sports. I mean, those are the main benefits, honestly, for almost everybody. It's character development, teamwork, it's hanging out with other parents. The travel part can be expensive. It can also be really fun to drive around and see things. Like, there's a lot of good there. And if you're spending a lot of money on that, but that's what you're spending it for, I think more power to you. That's not necessarily a bad investment at all. That's an investment sort of in your life. You know, you're investing in what you're doing right now, and you understand what the reward is. I think that can be really good. It's if and when you think you're making like a legit financial investment, and that you're trying to build towards this future payoff, that it's so unlikely, you'd be better off not worrying about it. That's when you can get into trouble.
Patrick Ruby, great work as always. Wonderful new piece in The Athletic. Patrick, thanks for coming back on with us. We look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you for having me.
Patrick Ruby on The Best of Downtown. When we return, we get into the ring. Charlotte Wilder trains for an unlikely WWE career next on Downtown.
At Quirk Motor City, you get a huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles priced to fit any budget. Plus, the Quirk Motor City pre-owned difference, with a limited warranty that's 3 times longer than the average dealer's pre-owned warranty. Free main state inspections for the life of the vehicle, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and Quirk Motor City's certified pre-owned 118-point inspection. It's your quality pre-owned car. Find it at Quirk Motor City in Bangor, Belfast, Augusta, and Portland. View our pre-owned inventory online at quirkauto.com.
It may not be prime biking season, but it's always a good time to make sure your cycle is in great shape. And there's only one place to go to do that. Slipping Gears Cycling, 753 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Bangor's only full-time cycling sales and service experts. They offer outstanding service and a huge stock. Make sure you like them on Facebook to get updates, shop in person or online at slippinggears.com.
Since its founding in 1954, Cross Insurance has grown from a small family-owned agency that started in Bangor, Maine, into one of the largest super-regional insurance agencies in New England. With a network of offices throughout New England, Cross Insurance works with top carriers to provide maximum value to you, your family, and your business. We are proud to be the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots and would welcome the chance to provide security for your team. For more information, visit crossinsurance.com. Cross Insurance, where security meets strength.
Bennett Auto Center is the place to go for full-service auto care. From oil changes to engine jobs, they can handle your every need. Stop in at 24 Thatcher Street in Bangor and talk with the experienced local people at Bennett's. They offer great service, competitive prices on a wide range of tires, and best of all, people you can trust. Visit the website for more information at BennettAutoCenter.com. Give them a call at 947-0351 or drive on into Bennett Auto Center, 24 Thatcher Street, Bangor.
Penobscot Theater presents...
A young, mysterious girl arrives at a rundown grill.
Hartford, Houston,
people who work at the grill have a contest.
Something's cooking up.
People write in explaining why they should own the Spitfire Grill. In the end, something magical happens. Come see the Spitfire Grill, April 26th through May 13th at Bangor's Historic Opera House. Tickets at 942-3333 and
PenobscotTheater.org. On the best of downtown Sunday morning, our friend Charlotte Wilder is... done a lot of wild things through the years. Maybe the craziest came recently when she trained with WWE legend Johnny Rods. She talked about that and more with us this week on Downtown. Am I talking to our friend Charlotte or am I talking to Aunt Char?
You are talking to Charlotte, although my alter ego, Aunt Char, who is the wrestler, it's also ridiculous. I think the line is getting very blurry between when I'm Charlotte and when I'm Aunt Char. I think I'm creeping towards my future as a, you know, divorcee in Connecticut, drinking a lot of white wine.
And that's how you came up with that name. It wasn't, if I remember right, was it Johnny Rods or was it the guys you were working out with who said, you know, what do people call you when you're drunk?
Yes. So, for those of you who have not read my foray into the world of professional wrestling, I trained with a Hall of Fame WWE wrestler, Johnny Rods, and he sort of gave me over to two of his top students, Matt and Gabriel, and they were fantastic. They were so generous, but they asked me, they were like, well, you need a character. What do your friends call you when you get drunk? And I was like, well, I do have this alter ego, Aunt Char. So that's how that happened, but it was really kind of amazing to get to peek inside how this sport works, because a lot of it was still a real mystery to me, and seeing how these guys train and actually trying to do it and realizing how totally physical it is was really eye-opening.
And you were not a wrestling fan going in.
No. Mm-mm. Last year, I watched WrestleMania and had never watched a moment of pro wrestling before in my entire life. And the blog that I wrote about it, people, it really connected with wrestling fans. I think that a lot of people who care about WWE aren't used to being written about without being mocked. And I just found the whole thing kind of wonderful, and the ability to suspend disbelief very childlike in a really kind of amazing way that I was a little bit jealous of. And so I wrote about it, and it was a big hit with wrestling fans, and they've been asking me to write about wrestling since, and I haven't. So I thought I would pop back in for the year anniversary and do this feature and then also recap the main event as well.
Well, it's a wonderful piece, and there's such terrific characters from Johnny Rods to the guys you work out with. And I love the comment one of them makes where he says, in here, in the gym, you can slow down time.
Yeah, that was very moving. I mean, the whole thing was really kind of incredible. But, yeah, these guys, they were talking about how you really have to inhabit the characters and totally be your wrestler when you're in the ring, and how you're a completely different person, and how you can also manipulate time. They were saying how, you know, if some guy goes down in a corner, everybody's in on it. So he's going to wait for as long as you take to hit him. So you could wait 5 seconds, or you could really get the crowd going and wait 45 seconds. And, you know, as long as you're compelling and selling it, people are going to hang with you.
And Johnny Rods, whose real name is Johnny Rodriguez, is such a character. He's known everybody in the business. You mentioned in the piece, Andre the Giant used to sleep on his couch. What a fascinating guy he was.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was really interesting with him because I never knew what was real and what wasn't. His stories sort of, I wrote this in the piece, but they kind of ebb and flow in and out of sense, and you're never totally sure what he's saying is real because then he'll say it again differently. And it didn't matter, you know? It was just like, this is the myth of this guy who's almost 80 years old and put his body through absolute hell in the ring and is now training people. And, you know, his students just revere him. There's this real sense of awe when he walks out and actually starts giving pointers. The whole thing, it was really wild. It was really cool to get to peek inside of that.
You had a pretty impressive clothesline of one of the honchos I saw.
Yeah, it was, I mean, they were so great with me too. I was trying not to laugh and I was trying to take it seriously, but it's hard not to feel a little silly if you're not actually in the sport. And it's so physical that, you know, you go clothesline someone and they just, you know, it was all them. Like they would throw themselves back and I barely had to do anything, which made it even more impressive and kind of cool to watch the actual wrestling after that.
Yeah, that I was fascinated with that piece of it, too, and talking about when a wrestler picks somebody up and throws them, it's the person on the receiving end jumping more than anything else.
Yeah, totally. It was really interesting because they showed me, they were like, Matt was like, okay, if I try to pick up Gabriel, I can't. Like, he picked him up without Gabe doing anything. He was just standing there and sort of tried to lift him up and couldn't do it. But then he sort of got a certain hold on his leg and lifted, and Gabe jumped at the same time. And then Matt could hold him over his head.
Unbelievable. We're talking with Charlotte Wilder of SB Nation here on Downtown. Have you had any response from Martha Stewart to your tweet about her?
No. Isn't that rude?
Yes.
I said I wanted to go to a sports game with her, and she has not responded. That's been a real pipe dream of mine for some time, though, so I think I'm going to make it happen. I feel like, you know, life is long if you're lucky, and hopefully it will include a sports game with Martha Stewart for me.
Well, you know, if you're up here in Maine this summer, you know, she's here. You just head down to the coast and track her down. You knock on the door. I don't think there's any security or anything.
I know. I think I know someone who's done some work on her property, so I might try to pull some strings.
I want to ask you, too, about this piece a couple of weeks ago, and you wrote about it and commented on it, and I can't remember the guy's name, who suggested that the reason more people don't care about women's sports is because it's just not interesting. It's not exciting. Even when you have an unbelievable Final Four like we had in women's college basketball, yeah, just nobody cares.
Yeah, no, that was total garbage. This guy wrote a piece about, you know, the managing editor of the Big Lead wrote about how, you know, people don't watch women's sports because people just inherently don't care about women's sports. And I just took such issue with that. It's, you know, he was saying that no one writes about it or covers it because people don't care. And the truth is that, you know, it's on the media. It's on us to write about it, to give it coverage. When you cover something, when you pay attention to something, people care about it. And, you know, we have some wonderful people at SB Nation. My colleague Whitney Medworth has been doing a ton of WNBA coverage recently. And it's just, it's something we all have to change, and it's slow, but I'm confident, you know, like you look at tennis players or Olympians, and women seem to get equal coverage there more so than any other sport or league. And people care, you know. Serena Williams wouldn't be one of the most famous athletes in the world if people inherently didn't care about women's sports.
Well, we had a hockey team here at the University of Maine, a women's hockey team that was in the top 10 in the nation for most of the year, and the local paper barely gave them any coverage and told us when we asked that, well, the readers aren't interested. I would suggest, as you have suggested, that might change if you actually had women writing about sports.
Not even women writing about sports. You know, you could have men covering women's sports. You just need to have someone covering it. And I think it's a shame that they didn't give more coverage to a team that's so good. You know, if men's had been top 10, I guarantee you they would have been front page.
Absolutely. Charlotte Wilder of SB Nation. Well, Charlotte, we love the piece. If you haven't read it yet, get to SB Nation. Check out Charlotte's experiences in the world of WWE. Are you still sore after that adventure?
You know, I thought it wasn't, and then I, like, climbed up onto my bed the other night on my knee in a funny way, and I was like, okay, there it is.
I do that every day, and I'm not even wrestling, but that's probably just age.
Maybe I'm just getting old, Rich. Maybe that's
it. Nah, no chance of that. Charlotte, always a delight. Thanks for making time for us.
Thanks so much, Rich. Always a pleasure.
Charlotte Wilder of SB Nation here on The Best of Downtown. When we return, author Jason Pellegrini talks about his new book that involves reincarnation, murder, and a chance at redemption. It's all coming up next, The Best of Downtown on Z62 Retro Radio.
Go Blue!
Sir, you're here for the cheerleading tryouts?
Yeah, for the class of 82. Gotta show my school spirit.
I know a better way. The UMaine Alumni Signature Rewards Visa Card from University Credit Union. Low rates, no annual fees, and it earns reward points for travel, merchandise, or cash back.
Woo! Sounds easier than a backflip.
Apply online today at umainealumnicard.com.
Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions apply, subject to credit approval.
At this busy time of year, there's nothing better than a place that offers you one-stop shopping. That place is G&M Family Market on the corner of Route 1A and Route 46 in Holden. Fresh produce delivered daily, a great selection of meats and seafood, beer and wine, of course, a Dunkin' Donuts and an Amato's right on site. Stop into G&M Family Market every day of the week from 6 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, and if they don't have what you're looking for, they'll make every effort to get it next time. G&M Family Market, Route 1A and Route 46 in Holden.
Hi, this is Mike Toole. My company is ClearPoint Financial. We're an independent retirement plan advisory firm located right here in Bangor, Maine. At ClearPoint Financial, we provide guidance-based, comprehensive retirement plan solutions to companies that are concerned about their employees' retirement income security. We focus on plan participants. We help them strive to achieve retirement income security. We provide ongoing engagement, education, investment advice, and service that exceeds expectation. For more details on our financial wellness programs, call me today at 899-2552. ClearPoint Financial, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.
Honey, what's all that barking in the neighborhood?
The dogs are saying something.
Let's listen closer.
You know, Green Acres Kennel Shop in Bangor is more than our home away from home. They're your pet food superstore. My owners have always trusted Green Acres Kennel Shop for the best price and selection. They carry a large variety of Nutrisource pet foods formulated with the best ingredients and made with integrity. Oh, they even have a rewards program. I save my owners money by earning points for every purchase.
We interrupt this message to bring you the cats of the neighborhood.
Meow. It's not all about the dogs around here. Don't forget your feline friends. Green Acres Kennel Shop is my parents' pet food headquarters. They buy me the best brands of dry and canned choices.
Well, dear, the dogs and cats around here know best. Time to make Green Acres Kennel Shop our new pet food store.
Green Acres Kennel Shop, Union Street, Bangor. Online at greenacreskennel.com.
We love Green Acres Kennel Shop, our home away from home.
On The Best of Downtown, Sunday morning, Rich Kimball, Carrie Haskell here with you. Author Jason Pellegrini. He's got a brand new book out entitled Booth, about a convicted murderer who is reincarnated as none other than presidential assassin John Wilkes Booth. It's a terrific read, and we talked with author Jason Pellegrini about it earlier this week on Downtown. Jason, let's start with your inspiration for this terrific book, and it hits pretty close to home for us here. Not only are you a fan of our owner, Stephen King, but one work in particular got you thinking about a time travel story like this.
Well, yeah, I came up with the idea while reading 1122-63, which is definitely one of my favorite Stephen King novels. It's just an amazing story. I'm sure everyone knows that already. What happened was I was reading it, which everyone knows is a story about somebody who goes back in time to stop the Kennedy assassination. And I remember thinking to myself, it'd be great if somebody, you know, wrote a story about somebody preventing the Lincoln assassination. And then I realized, well, you know, I could do that because I'm a writer. So I got to thinking, I started brainstorming, came up with what I thought was a really, really great idea. I got really psyched on it. So I told it to my friend. He was somebody I always run my ideas past. And he then proceeded to poke a billion holes in my plot. And then, you know, with a billion holes in my plot, my enthusiasm became deflated, which it makes sense. Looking back on hindsight being 2020, the plot I had, which I don't really recall much of it anymore,
didn't make much sense. So, you know, that was that. It was put on the shelf. And then it just stuck with me. So I kind of went back to it. I refused to give up on the idea. And second time around, I came up with what I thought was a much better plot. And when I finally told my friend, he agreed that this is your second book. You know, go with this.
Well, I love the idea and the premise, but then when I got into it, I was even happier because, all right, time travel, all right, it makes sense. Go back and stop the Lincoln assassination. But this is not a direct line on the journey for Joseph Bateman. And to me, that's what made it really interesting and a terrific read is that you went in a lot of unexpected directions.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want it to be a book about Booth or the Lincoln assassination. It's really a story of my main character, Joseph Bateman, and that is just part of his journey.
Obviously, it's not a book about Booth or about Lincoln, and yet there's a ton of interesting historical information in there. How much time did you have to put into the research for this?
Well, you know what? I'd always been a fan of the Lincoln assassination and Booth in general, and Lincoln, too. Lincoln, I think, is a very tragic figure in history. So I was familiar with a lot of the major points of the assassination and the days that followed during the manhunt for Booth, you know, where Booth had gone. So I had enough to, like, plot my points for what I wanted. It was just going in on the Internet. Thank God for the Internet. Google's a writer's best friend. It's just going on Google and just figuring out, you know, what goes where. So it didn't take as much. Had I not known anything about it, it would have taken much longer. Because I'll go sidetrack for a moment here. My book I'm working on now talks subjects. I go into subjects that I really don't know anything about. One being specifically Omaha Beach during on D-Day.
Mm-hmm.
I knew nothing about it. I knew, like, the bare minimum, probably more than what I've seen from Saving Private Ryan. So I had to do a lot of research, and thank God I reached out to somebody. I reached out on Twitter and had people reach out to help me. And but that was a lot of research because I had nothing on the subject. Luckily, as far as Booth goes, I was well-versed enough to know a lot of the chunk of what I wanted. It was just using the Internet to, you know, fill in the blanks.
We're talking with Jason Pellegrini. His latest book is entitled Booth. I always like to ask writers about their relationship to their characters, and sometimes it's hard to let them go, and sometimes it's hard to let them go on the journeys, which tend to take on a life of their own. Was that particularly tough, given everything that Joseph Bateman goes through in your story?
I don't think the character in any way is an extension of myself. I think, well, as far as certain aspects of the book don't really reflect on me. The book touches on racism a lot and domestic violence and alcoholism, which I don't maybe have one drink a year. I think a lot of authors, though, pour a lot of themselves into the characters as far as emotional. Because if you want to portray a realistic character, you have to portray, you have to make them real. And what, you know, what way to portray a convincing character than to draw on your own experiences emotionally? And so that's really what, as far as the characters go, is a part of me or an extension of me.
The book is,
answered your question.
No, it does. Absolutely. The book is about Joseph's search for redemption. And I feel like at some level, we all look for that in our own different ways. And he certainly finds his in an unconventional approach. But are we all seeking some sort of redemption for something we feel we've screwed up along the way?
Yeah, I think it's the ultimate, wow, I wish I could have gone back and done that differently. Everyone, I mean, some bigger than others. But everyone, you know, everyone looks back in their life and said, if only I had done that differently, or I could have changed that. Joseph gets the chance on a much grander scheme to, you know, right his wrongs for not only himself, but like his soul, which is, this is the book's not just about Joseph's redemption. It's about his soul's redemption.
And there are some elements of faith in this part, in this story as well. Did faith play a part in the journey for Joseph Bateman and in creating the story?
No, not really. I am on the fence with faith, usually. I like to say if, you know, I die and there's a heaven, God can say, I told you so. I just, the aspect just came to me, and I just wanted to incorporate it. I took a twist on reincarnation is more than anything, but at the same time, it's like that there is life and death to a soul, which I can't really go into much of that without giving away three major plot points of the story.
Right, right.
But I do bring in different aspects of faith from not just Christianity, but like I said, reincarnation. So it's really my own take on it. But I don't think I looked specifically at faith as an inspiration for the book at all.
Well, and I like the idea as well, again, without giving away too much of the plot, that if we do get another chance, we can change some small things. We can change details. We can perhaps change our own destiny. But big picture stuff, that might be a little too much.
Yeah, that was a major thing on me. You can't really change. There's some things you can't throw a spokes into the wheel and stop the wheel. It's just going to keep going.
Jason, what's your process? You say you're working on a new book right now. Do you write every day?
I try to write every day. I'm not going to be the person who sits there and say, yeah, I can do it. Some days, I always compare writing to coming home from work and seeing that sink full of dirty dishes. When you're sitting on the couch and you're saying, I don't want to do those dishes, but they just got to get done. Sometimes I sit down on the couch, I look at my laptop, and I'm like, you know, today's not going to be that day. And you know what? I'd rather not force it. But I do try semi-daily to write. Like I said, I'm not going to force something that's just not there.
Well, I have to say, Booth is such a terrific book. I told you I could have made it through in one night, but I had to get up and work in the morning. But it didn't take me long into the second day to read it. It was fantastic. I was on the edge of my seat reading it. It's a wonderful story. It's a powerful story. It's great to talk about it with you. And for anybody who wants to get their hands on the book, first of all, how can they get the book and how can they learn more about you?
Well, you can get the book at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Or if you want to walk into a Barnes & Noble and they can special order it for you. You can also get the book on Amazon Kindle or Kindle Unlimited. Or, and I think this is the deal of a lifetime, if you go to www.jasonpellegrinibooks.com, you can order from there, and every copy comes signed. And well, with every copy, you get a bookmark.
Well, that's the only way to do it then, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's only a few dollars more than what Amazon sells the books for, so I think it's worth it.
Absolutely. Now, you can follow on social media what Jason is doing, and you have some rabid followers out there. It's awesome.
I've been very fortunate as far as social media goes, but, you know, I put the work in, and, like, it sort of pays off. I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Jason Pellegrini Books. And I'm on Twitter at J, just the letter J, Pellegrini, 1983. You can just also type my name in Twitter. I should come up immediately.
Well, it's a great idea. And get your hands on this book. You're going to love it. Booth, a novel by Jason Pellegrini. Jason, it's great to talk with you. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon. And reach out to us when that new book is ready. We'll have you back on again.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jason Pellegrini talking about his latest book, Booth, on the Best of Downtown. When we return, radio legend Dr. Demento joins us. This is Z62 Retro Radio.
When it comes to your health, early detection is the best protection. That's why the St. Joseph Regional Breast Care Center provides 3D mammography to offer better answers and greater peace of mind, identifying problem areas that a standard mammogram might miss. It provides precise images for all women, including those with dense breast tissue. Call 907-1682 to schedule your 3D mammogram at the St. Joseph Regional Breast Care Center. 3D, providing peace of mind for you, your family, and your loved ones.
Since its founding in 1954, Cross Insurance has grown from a small family-owned agency that started in Bangor, Maine, into one of the largest super-regional insurance agencies in New England. With a network of offices throughout New England, Cross Insurance works with top carriers to provide maximum value to you, your family, and your business. We are proud to be the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots and would welcome the chance to provide security for your team. For more information, visit crossinsurance.com. Cross Insurance, where security meets strength.
Angelo's Pizzeria has locations in both Bangor and in Hamden, and they're your home for the best pizza, homemade pasta, and Italian takeout. Angelo's Pizzeria, located on Hammond Street in Bangor and Main Road South in Hamden, features a menu that also includes seafood, sandwiches, wraps, and salads. That means there's sure to be something for every member of the family. Stop into Angelo's Pizzeria, Hammond Street, Bangor, Main Road South in Hamden.
Spring's the time for everything new, fresh, innovative. Time for the brand new, all redesigned Ram 1500 at Hartley's.
The 2019 Ram 1500 is awesome, with more everything, more storage,
more performance,
more technology,
more efficiency,
and more leather.
In the new Ram 1500, there's safety all around you. It's the strongest Ram ever. Capable, built to serve, rugged,
and refined.
Start your own rebellion. Get yourself a Ram 1500 at Hartley's.
Don't miss the 2018 Jeep Wrangler, an all-new version of a true icon at Hartley's.
Diesel power, hybridization, and full-wheel, all-wheel driver options. Wrangler is legendary for sport, fun, and work. The incredible 2018 is the most accommodating and comfortable Wrangler yet.
The new Ram 1500 and the all-new 2018 design Jeep Wrangler. Check them out at Hartley's.
The best deals on new Ram 1500s and 2019 Jeep Wranglers aren't in the city, they're in the country. Hartley's Country in Newport, hartleyscountry.com.
Your home should be your sanctuary, the place that keeps you safe and warm in the winter and cool and dry in the summer. The people at Penobscot Home Performance want to make sure your home is safe, healthy, comfortable, and energy efficient. They take a big picture view with practical steps and use their experience to ensure that the space and systems in your house are working better together. Contact them today for a free energy consultation by visiting PenobscotHomePerformance.com. A little taste right there of a brand new collection entitled Dr. Demento Covered in Punk. The legendary radio broadcaster Dr. Demento joined us this week along with his producer John Caffiero to talk about this most recent effort. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Woo-woo! Wind up your radio! Hello, Maine!
Hello, Doctor! And my gosh, this is a fun collection to listen to. It's like having your own private Dr. Demento show.
That was the idea.
John,
glad you feel that way.
Yeah, John, talk about how you put together this collection of artists and Dr. Demento classics and new takes on some of the old favorites.
Sure, I'm a lifelong fan of Dr. Demento and the Dr. Demento Show, and I am also a punk rocker. It's my career. I've been involved with some of the most iconic names in punk rock, from the Misfits to the Ramones. I continue to manage the Misfits, and I manage Dee Dee Ramone's estate. I'm also a producer of other artists, and I front a punk band of my own named Osaka Pop Star, which I'm the singer of. And I thought that it would be a fun project to have a lot of different classic and contemporary punk artists do new punk rock cover versions of all of the great novelty songs made famous over the airwaves of the Dr. Demento show through the decades, and then mix it up a little bit with a reverse on the concept by having some newly demented versions of punk rock classics, and then house it all within the framework of a special bizarro episode of the Dr. Demento show, complete with the front and back announces from the doc himself, the bumpers, pretty much everything that you would remember, the jingles, but all done in a punk rock-centric way to sort of breathe new life into the property and make a fun reintroduction of the Dr. Demento Show to a new generation and bring it back to those who've loved it and been looking for it again all these years.
Well, mission accomplished on that count. It really is a wonderful collection. Dr. Demento, who were the people that you thought were vital to have be a part of this collection?
Well, Weird Al Yankovic, for one. But let me point out that it was John's idea to start with, so the first plan was to have the Misfits, of course, and the Vandals, and the Dead Milkmen, and other punk bands that he was aware of and been working with sometimes for a long time. And then it kind of expanded to move into other artists, such as Adam West, who we heard at the top of the show there, and the great William Shatner does doing a song originally by the Cramps, and so on. It just kind of grew. It started out as just being one CD, but it expanded. It fed on itself and grew into two CDs and three colorful vinyl discs.
Yeah, and it started right off the bat with a great cover of your most requested song ever, Fishheads. That sort of set the tone for the whole collection right there, didn't it?
For sure. That's rock and roll. They make those fish heads rock. Osaka pop star with John Cafiero doing the honors.
John, I'm so glad that you felt that way, because that was that was my band, and it was a big thrill to do that track, because as a kid, I used to write Barnes & Barnes, the originators of Fish Heads, fan letters in grammar school, and they would write me back.
John, too, the package is so terrific. We've got the CD. The cover art is wonderful on this, the booklet that goes with it. If people get the LP version, it's three album set, a triple gatefold package. It's not just the music and the memories and the terrific music here, but it really is a wonderful collector's item.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I come from the old school that I feel that the packaging is part of the experience of the record. It's just more to bring you into the world of what you're going to experience. And I'm a huge art fan and an art aficionado, and I thought it would just add a whole other dimension to the project to get an equally potent roster of visual artists to illustrate and visualize everything that you'll be listening to. So that really is a whole other world of this, not to mention extensive liner notes where we have the various artists commenting about why they chose the songs they did or memories of the Dr. Demento Show. I wrote a foreword for the booklet. Dr. Demento wrote an afterword. So there really is a lot of different layers of fun to dig into in this project, and I'm really pleased that you felt that way and enjoyed it and noticed all of that richness to it. Thank you.
We're talking with Dr. Demento and John Cafiero. The new project is Dr. Demento Covered in Punk. It's available in stores at Amazon.com. It really is a terrific collection. I started this more than four decades ago. Could you ever imagine that this would be going this long with the popularity and new generations that embrace the music that you've brought to us for all these years?
No, I certainly didn't imagine that right at the beginning. I didn't even know if I'd be on the next week, but thank goodness it became very popular, and I was able to kind of stay a step ahead of the times and keep it going, and here I am, almost 50 years, actually, after the first time I ever went on the air as Dr. Demento. So yeah, I've been grateful for that, but I worked hard to keep it going and not just rest on my laurels. Working on the this weekend show right now, doing all I can to make it as entertaining as I can, because it's available every week, you know, at drdemento.com. It's streamed on demand. You can hear it whenever you want. There is a small streaming fee because we got to pay the rent and pay the artists. But new show every week, and over 1,000 older shows available online.
Yeah, I was going to mention the archive of shows, both the syndicated versions and there's a mixture of some of the LA shows are available as well.
Yeah. Of course, the show started out just being live in Los Angeles before it was syndicated. And I continue that live show for a while longer, and those of you who do not live in Los Angeles can hear some of those shows going way back and enjoy them. You can hear me. I started out, you know, on FM radio, non-commercial FM radio, and in those days it was kind of laid back, you know. So I've pepped up the delivery a little bit since then.
Now, Carrie has got quite a collector's item here in studio. What is that, Carrie?
Well, it was the and my fault for not noticing it yesterday and sharing it with Rich. It was in the envelope, the trading card that came with the CD, covered in punk trading card of the Cockroach That Ate Cincinnati. That is great.
I'm glad you enjoyed that. That's a special promo item that you've only been able to get when you come to our in-store signings. But you guys got the inside tip, so.
Well, it is great. Yeah, it's got the information on the back about the band that did that song, The Misfits. And notice the logo of the radio station is the station that I blame for getting me into radio, WKRP.
That's right.
That's a great illustration.
The Cockroach Eating Cincinnati, after all.
Indeed. So, John, I have to think there must have been a line of artists when the word got out who wanted to be involved in this project.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It was really a very carefully curated project. I approached it almost like a musical art show or art project and casting a bizarre cult movie. So everybody that's on there are artists that I personally approached that I felt would be a great contribution or a great asset to the cast, if you will, for the record. So it wasn't like an open call. It wasn't really like word spreading around. Everybody that was on this record was actually personally invited to take part in it.
Doc, do you still get unsolicited submissions from people who want you to expose their music?
Oh, all the time. There'll be a couple on this coming week's show, so this coming Saturday show. So, yes, happens all the time.
I have to say one of our favorites on this is the wonderful cover of Suicide is Painless, the theme from MASH.
I'm glad to hear you say that. That's an independent punk band named Juicehead that originated out of Chicago, now relocated to the Portland area. And that was a discovery of mine. They were an indie band that I found and signed to another label that I've been with for many years now and co-founded, Misfits Records, which is the label imprint of the legendary Misfits. And that was Juicehead's rendering of Suicide is Painless, and it was a song that I'd actually suggested that I thought might sound great in their delivery. So I'm glad that you enjoyed that one.
Very much so. Now, Doc, am I right? You folks are in Chicago today?
We were in Chicago last weekend, yes.
Uh-huh. And how did that go?
Oh, it went great. We had a long line. They actually had to close the record store just to accommodate us and all the Dementites and Dementoids who came in to get albums signed and just to take their selfies and so on. That was a fine store, the Rolling Stones Records, and we had a great time. And we also had a great signing. It was the first one we did, actually, in New York City. And we've also done Los Angeles and Portland, and Philadelphia comes next.
One of the things I really liked on the album was sort of the way that stuff tied together. You had, is it Shoney Knife covering a Weird Al song? They did Eat It.
Yeah,
and then
Shoney Knife.
And Weird Al doing a Ramones song. The connections between it's not a CD of just individual songs. There's a flow to it that is just great to listen to.
Oh, thank you so much. It really was a labor of love, and a lot of care and attention to detail went into it, and it's really a pleasure to know that shows. The whole idea was to create a fun experience, something that I think everybody needs, especially in the present state of things, the way that everybody is, things just seem so volatile, and everybody's got their pressures and daily life stress. I think that it's great to just be able to kick back and have something that's just pure fun.
Now, Dr. Demento, I'm staring down the barrel of 60 this summer. I've been a fan forever. I have to think it must be gratifying when you do these public appearances to have people my age and older come in, but also see youngsters who have yet to be completely twisted in the way the rest of us have after all these years of listening.
That's true. We get all ages. Many of the veteran listeners bring their offspring in, of course, but we have teenagers wander in on their own, and many of them have managed to listen to the show either now or a little while ago. So, yeah, but the Dr. Demento show has always appealed to all the different generations, which has sometimes made it a little hard for people in the commercial radio biz to understand and comprehend. But it's always been something for all ages, going way back to the beginning when I'd be playing In the early years, I'd like play Fish Heads, which the younger kids loved, of course, and then I go into something by Spike Jones or Rudy Valley or somebody like that that Grandma could relate to. So I've always loved, well, it goes beyond that. I've always loved introducing people to things they didn't know about before. A whole lot of people have thanked me for introducing them to the work of Frank Zappa, for instance.
And you mention it on the CD that there are also there are some songs on here that couldn't be played on the radio show that you get a chance to play on this collection.
Yes. Of course, standards have opened up a little bit. We have kept this collection from being pornographic, anything like that, though there are things that are maybe a little PG-13.
Well, we can take that. We're
It's a Gas doc, how you had trouble with It's a Gas on...
For sure, yeah. I used to be distributed by the Westwood One radio network, and the head of that network did not like songs that he thought were too juvenile, especially It's a Gas, which was originally sold on a cardboard record bound into a Mad Super Special magazine. And the highlight of It's a Gas, the original version by Alfred E. Newman, and the new version on these CDs is the Wondrous Belches, originally done by Alfred E. Newman himself.
And John, thank you for sequencing the album so that It's a Gas immediately follows I Love Beans.
You're very welcome. Thank you for picking up on that.
Well,
you'll also notice that all in that same vicinity, you also in short proximity get Eat It, and then you have the Batman theme done by the Hamburglar, and then Adam West following that. So there's definitely some thematic things happening in there.
Well, it's just a great collection. Dr. Demento, Covered in Punk, available everywhere music is sold, Amazon.com as well. And, of course, listen to the show every week online. John Caffiero, Dr. Demento, it's a treat to talk with both of you. Thank you for joining us, and we wish you great success with this collection.
Thank you so much, Rich. And if your listeners want more information, please check out coveredinpunk.com. You can sample tracks and learn more about the record there as well.
Thank you so much, and don't forget to stay demented.
That is the great Dr. Demento, along with producer John Caffiero on The Best of Downtown. He met Carrie. What a blast that was. Both of us longtime Dr. Demento fans, and he and John were absolutely terrific to talk with.
They were, and they couldn't be nicer. Even after we were done talking with them, as I'm saying goodbye on the phone, Dr. Demento says, "Would you guys want a show liner?" Well, yes, we do.
Yes, we do, absolutely. And they reached out and emailed us and thanked us. They were great, as you might expect after all these years. A treat it was for us to talk with Dr. Demento. That's going to wrap it up for us today. Thanks to the doctor and John Caffiero, Patrick Ruby, Jason Pellegrini, and Charlotte Wilder for joining us here on The Best of Downtown. Patriots Day weekend. You know, there are no, this is an interesting thing, Carrie, there are no big foods or food events that I can think of associated with Patriots Day.
No.
It's too bad. Maybe it's that morning baseball tomorrow that throws things off. You don't know whether it's time for breakfast or lunch. You have both. That's what I would recommend.
Baseball brunch.
There you go. Sounds good to me. We'll be here tomorrow afternoon, live in living audio, with a Monday edition of the show. We'll talk some baseball. Nick Durba, UMaine coach. John Florio, author of a great book on baseball in the 60s, entitled One Nation Under Baseball. Plus Mike Lowe, the Press Herald. Alan Adams with movie reviews. A healthy active living minute from St. Joe's Healthcare. And more. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks for being with us. We'll catch you tomorrow afternoon at 4 here on Downtown. You're gonna-